This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray, joined as always every Thursday with the one and only Matt Eumanns. Mr. Eumanns, we're ready to rock and roll. Middle of the college football season, week 9 is here. We've got bowl eligibility, playoff implications, fall weather. I know it's going to be tempting for you. You're a big pumpkin patch guy. You might have to wait to do your pumpkin patching until maybe middle of the week.
Tim, I'm just happy you're here today. When I heard the news about the FBI bust, I thought, oh my God, I hope Tim Murray's not caught up in this. But great to see you here this morning.
Yeah, I have my illegal poker ring. You know, we put that to bed a couple of years ago, so I wanted to avoid that. You know, got to make sure we get this pod out to the people. Can't do any funny business regarding that. All right, let's jump right into it. Actually, before we jump into it, just a reminder, do give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and Spotify. It does help out the pod, as each and every week it's been cool to see us in those iTunes rankings on sports podcasts. So let's continue to make the rise there. And just a reminder too, we're on YouTube as well, youtube.com/collegefootballbettingpodcast. Our producer Wyatt Tomchek has been putting out clips each and every week, so let's keep the momentum rolling there. All right, with that all being said, we've got some big-time matchups this Saturday in the college football world, so let's get to those.
The main course.
Well, Matt, in the year 2025, Vanderbilt is a top 10 football team, and they are hosting College Game Day for the first time since 2008. It's their second appearance, by the way, on game day this year. So this will be a 3:30 Eastern game on ESPN. Vanderbilt right now a 2.5-point favorite against Mizzou, a Missouri team that you were very high on preseason and have certainly found a couple of times to back them as well. What do you make of Missouri at Vanderbilt on Saturday afternoon in Nashville?
I'm playing Vandy for the second week in a row here, and Diego Pavia and the Commodores, very similar story to what we witnessed with, and Clark Lee, I should throw him in there, as a coach who's turned this program around, very similar story to what we watched with Kurt Cignetti in Indiana a year ago, and a lot of bettors were hesitant to buy in on the Hoosiers. You know, I'm buying in on Vandy. I have him over the season win total. Bet him last week against LSU when, you know, we hated the role reversal, taking a team that's always a dog in the SEC and making it a favorite. But Vandy got there. And the impressive part to me, Tim, was that Commodores rushed for 239 yards against the LSU defense. Outgained the Tigers 399 to 325. This Vandy team is 6-1, and the one loss in Tuscaloosa. And the Commodores hung with the Crimson Tide for, you know, 3.5 quarters in that game, so no shame in that. Diego Pavia right now, 19 total touchdowns, 4 picks. Cedric Alexander helps the Vandy offense move on the ground. I think this team's legit, Tim. And by the way, the Tigers, the Missouri Tigers, who we backed a week ago, we were very fortunate. A lot of times you forget the lucky wins and you just harp on the bad beats. We were very fortunate to get a win with Missouri a week ago. Tigers on the road, back-to-back weeks, negative situation. I'm going to go with the team from Nashville, short favorite. Either way, the 2.5 or money line, I'll probably do a little bit of both.
Diego Pavia went from 50-1 down to 8-1 to win the Heisman Trophy after that performance against LSU. And yeah, he definitely is live. He's so vital to the success of that program. Clark Lee, we'll see if he stays at his alma mater, but what he's done since getting down to Vanderbilt, it took a little while, but these past 2 years have been impressive, and this year has just been spectacular for Vandy. All right, staying in the SEC and staying with a team that played Vanderbilt, LSU, Matt, hosting Texas A&M. You got undefeated Giga Maggie at the Bayou Bengals. This will be a night game in LSU, and the point spread sitting at 2.5. And I texted our producer Wyatt as we make a graphic with all of our plays, and I said, if this gets to 3, I will be on LSU. Well, it hasn't gotten to 3 yet. We see a couple of juice 2.5s out there, so I'm trying to be patient here, Matt, with this situation. What's your thought on this particular matchup on Saturday night down in the Bayou?
So this is going to be a best bet for me, too, if it got to three, and it's not there yet, so it's not going to be on my list. But I'm going to bet LSU in some form here, whether it's, I don't know. I hate to play teasers in college football, but, man, if you tease LSU up to 8.5, that looks like a pretty good one. And I'll see if I compare it with something else. If not, if I don't get to three, I really don't want to buy it to three. But I do want LSU here. A night game in Baton Rouge. Not just Brian Kelly, pretty much every LSU coach going back to Nick Saban and before has been tough to beat at night in Baton Rouge. And I don't trust this Texas A&M team on the road. I think the Aggies have gotten a couple of lucky breaks. Tim probably should have lost the game. Texas A&M probably should have lost that game at Notre Dame. They were lucky to escape against Auburn in a 16-10 game. It was ugly in College Station. I'm not completely buying in here, and this is not a great spot on the road for the Aggies. So if I can get three, this is definitely going to be a bet for me on LSU. I don't think Brian Kelly has lost his team yet. I talked to Jimmy Ott from ESPN Radio Baton Rouge, and he goes, look, this LSU team's not that bad. They've lost twice on the road to highly respected opponents, you know, basically by one score. And Brian Kelly has not lost the team, and at night in Baton Rouge, LSU is always a great bet. And so, you know, I expected the LSU radio crew to be a little bit skeptical and discouraged, let's put it that way, about this team. But no, they were upbeat, and they think LSU is going to be the play here. So, you know, at 2.5, I don't want to play it, but I'll find a way to get on LSU this weekend.
Yeah, I'm with you. I echo a lot of the same things you just said. Brad Powers puts out a weekly newsletter and pointed out that LSU under Brian Kelly in home night games, 19-1 straight up. We know that is a elite atmosphere, and I will be on LSU as well. I think you'll be patient. We'll see if we can get that three. You know, it's funny. I've been doing a couple radio hits this week, Matt, and I've been talking about this game and saying, doesn't it feel like LSU's like 4-3 or 3-4? Mm-hmm. 5-2, as you pointed out. And Garrett Nussmeier, even in the loss, I thought played one of his better games offensively. You know, something to watch, though. Texas A&M elite on the offensive line, and that's going to be quite the battle between Texas A&M up front against LSU. The defense for LSU has been pretty strong, even though, as you pointed out in your Vanderbilt handicap, Vanderbilt was able to run the ball pretty well against this LSU defense. Texas A&M also beat them last year, so a little bit of revenge, but I think more so it's the desperation here for LSU. So I'm with you. I will probably have a little money line, but let's see if we can get the three here with the Bayou Bengals against Texas A&M. Staying in the SEC, Matt, number 8, Ole Miss at number 13, Oklahoma. This will be a noon kick on ABC, and we've seen some backing for Oklahoma here in the market. My initial inclination was to look at Ole Miss and the dog roll. I think I'm going to stay off this game, though. Ole Miss coming off of an impressive loss against Georgia offensively. The defense is poor, and then Oklahoma just suffocated South Carolina at Williams-Brice. At least we got the under in that one, but certainly South Carolina was not the side. Any thoughts on Ole Miss at Oklahoma? Noon kickoff there in Norman.
No, this is not going to be a play for me. As of right now, it's not, and I don't think it's going to be on Saturday. I don't know what to expect of John Mateer since he came back from the hand surgery issue. He was terrible against Texas, not that great last week at South Carolina. I would expect Oklahoma to win this game. I don't want to lay the points. Maybe you throw Oklahoma on a money line parlay if you really believe in the Sooners' ability to come through. I mean, Oklahoma does have an elite defense. You know, we've talked a lot about the Texas defense. The discussion starts with Ohio State when you're talking about dominant defenses, but Ohio State, yeah. Texas, LSU. Well, we've seen the Texas and LSU defenses exposed here in the past couple weeks. Oklahoma defense is legit. I think the you would think John Mateer is getting healthier with that hand and better able to grip the football, grip it and rip it, and I'm inclined to back Oklahoma, but I just don't want to lay the points here.
Yeah, strength on strength, no doubt. When you look at this game, the Ole Miss offense, they will stick with Trinidad Chambliss at QB. Just so you know, Trinidad Chambliss didn't play in front of a lot of people last year. That'll probably be brought up again when they hit the road to take on Oklahoma. But you look at some of the adjusted numbers, courtesy of Brett Ciancia, defense number 3, rush defense number 6, pass defense number 10, and opponent adjusted per play metrics. Yeah, I think Ole Miss could struggle quite mightily, and I do think Oklahoma's offense might be able to take advantage of some issues that Ole Miss has defensively. Ole Miss's rush defense is very poor. I don't even know if they got a stop last week with Gunnar Stockton there. So I'm with you. A pass for me, but would probably look favorite or pass as opposed to dog or pass in this one. Matt, last one in the main course. Let's get to Ames, Iowa. We have another one of those unique situations of the unranked favorite versus the ranked team. BYU, got to give them credit. Took care of business last week against Utah, rivalry game. They rushed the field after the 24-21 victory. And Iowa State is coming off a bye here, Matt. So we've seen the market back the Cyclones here. This number has moved up throughout the week. 2.5s out there. Couple of 3s, actually, in favor of the Iowa State Cyclones hosting 11th-ranked BYU. This will be a 3:30 kick on Fox.
11th-ranked BYU, which is 7-0, but Tim, a little bit phony in terms of an undefeated team. Not in the top 10 yet. That tells you a little bit something. BYU was lucky to win at Colorado. BYU was very, very lucky to win in Tucson against Arizona. And outgained by Utah last week, 470 to 368. But BYU was plus 2 in turnovers. And that's been one thing. It's kept this team undefeated, not making a bunch of mistakes, even with the freshman quarterback and Bear Bachmeyer. I like the Cyclones here. It's a much better spot off a bye. Last time they were at home, September 27th, they beat Arizona 39-14. And also BYU off its Super Bowl win against Utah and hitting the road here. I don't think things could set up much better for Iowa State from a situational handicapping perspective. Then when you look at the matchup, Iowa State strength, run defense, you got to be strong against the run when you're facing LJ Martin and Bear Bachmeyer. So I am, again, this is one of those small favorite situations. I got burned on this last week. I laid 2.5 with Iowa. I had a little bit of Iowa money line, but I had more on the 2.5. And of course, Iowa wins by 1. So what do you do here? Do you lay the short money line price or do you lay the 2.5? I'll do a little bit of both with Iowa State, just like I am with Vandy.
Yeah, this was a spot that jumped out immediately to me. When you think about coming off of a rivalry game like BYU was, I was curious what number we'd get in the market. And, you know, we've talked about this a lot. These things are all priced in nowadays, right? We're unfortunately not able to pull one over the odds makers. And, you know, Iowa State getting healthier, still going to be banged up in the secondary, as we all know, with the corners that were lost for the year. But they're expected to get one of their running backs back. One of their kickers is expected back, which is huge. They were playing a couple games with like a third string kicker, Matt. But also, you know, to expand on the point that you made about BYU coming off of the Utah game, this is their 6th straight game and 4th road game. I mean, this is a really tricky stretch here for BYU traveling to Iowa State. You know, we had a listener to VSiN Primetime point out that there was a spot like this a year ago. Central Florida was 3-4, and they were favored against 7-0 BYU, and ultimately BYU won that game pretty comfortably. I think this is different. I trust Iowa State, obviously, much more than a UCF team a year ago that ultimately their coach bolted for the OC job at Florida State and Gus Malzahn. You know, and also keep in mind, it's not that big of a discrepancy, but, you know, BYU strength of schedule 55th, Iowa State sitting there at 38th. And, you know, go back to that Utah game just a little bit. And once again, you give them credit, Matt, for winning that game and not shooting themselves in the foot. Utah 2 turnovers and had 3 possessions end on downs. In the second quarter, they went for a 4th-and-7 at BYU's 28, didn't get it. Third quarter, 4th-and-3 on the BYU 8. Didn't get it. Utah outgained BYU by over 100 yards in that game. So one of the first bets I made all week, Matt, was Iowa State on a shorter money line. The tricky part about doing this on a Thursday, that price has gone up. But official bet for me will be on the money line. I think there's a minus 140 out there, minus 142. So it's always kind of tricky. Do you lay the 2.5, like you mentioned? Do you take the money line? But common play for the two of us will be on the clones here in a spot where, you know, the expectation, Matt, is that this conference, and we saw it last week with Texas Tech losing at Arizona State, it will continue to cannibalize itself, and it is probably going to be a one-bid league for a second straight year.
Yeah, Tim, I will mention that Iowa State, down to its third-string kicker, that kicker was so bad, he is now being scouted by the New York Giants.
Ba-dum-bum.
Oh, yeah. By the way, you know, a lot of people did get suckered into that spot last year on UCF against BYU in a similar spot, and that was BYU the whole way. Hopefully that doesn't happen this week with Iowa State.
Yeah, no doubt. I think I was certainly one of those suckers. All right, let's take a quick break, Matt. When we come back, we'll dive into some more matchups, including some spicy ones. We'll dive into those next. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We're back. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. That's Matt Newmans. I'm Tim Murray. Just a reminder, we've had some great sponsors all year long, and our loyal sponsor, Rainbow Authentics. Check them out. They're the official source of game-used apparel, autographs, and trading cards for your favorite Hawaii student-athletes. Every item tells a story, whether it's a game-worn jersey, signed ball, or unique collectibles. You'll be capturing a moment and owning a piece of Hawaii sports history. Beyond memorabilia, Rainbow Authentics committed to supporting the community. Their mission is rooted in empowering student athletes and coaches, strengthening local programs, and giving back to Hawaii with pride. They've got exclusive gear. They've got some great hats, some t-shirts as well in the works. Check them out, rainbowauthentics.com. Mahalo to our friends, Rainbow Authentics, a proud sponsor of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. And Matt, before we get back to the games, we had the chance to talk to the head Rainbow Warrior, Timmy Chang, on VSiN Primetime earlier this week as they are bowl eligible. Both you and I took the points with Hawaii last week as they got the win outright. So always great to catch up with Timmy Chang. And sounds like the Rainbow Warriors will be playing on Christmas Eve in the Hawaii Bowl, which will be a beautiful sight to see for all of us bettors.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite bowls, obviously. And man, it just... 2 months ago, we were in Honolulu on the sideline for that dramatic win against Stanford, which was a springboard for Hawaii to get to this point. 6-2 straight up, 7-1 ATS, bowl eligible. That was a great game, great weekend for us, and it's really cool to see Hawaii headed back to the bowls. I know the Hawaii Bowl's a big deal, but can Hawaii maybe land in a bigger bowl, Tim, if they surprise people and pick up a few more wins on the way? I know the final four games are going to be really challenging, and 2-2 would actually be a pretty good record in the final four games. But is there a chance Hawaii could hit a bigger bowl game? What do you think?
I think it's certainly possible. You know, I know the LA Bowl is kind of the number one spot for the Mountain West, so we'll see how it all plays out. But they're rolling right now in a bye week. By the way, the Tokyo Toe, their kicker, who has been unbelievable this year, getting some love on ESPN, so pretty cool to see. So we will keep our eyes on that, but no game this week for Hawaii. We will get into some Mountain West games a little bit later on in the podcast. But Matt, let's get into some of those matchups that we deem a little, what would you say? They're a little caliente, right?
Muy caliente!
Spicy matchups.
That's right, the spicy matchups. And let's go to Stark Vegas. You and I, Matt, back in September, loved the spot for Mississippi State to clang those cowbells and beat Arizona State as around a touchdown underdog. And now another big opportunity here for Mississippi State as they welcome in Texas, who both you and I had Kentucky last week. That was an easy winner. They should have won the damn game outright, Kentucky. Now Texas goes on the road to Mississippi State, and you are intrigued by the cowbells in this spot.
I am, Tim, but first I'm going to give you a little lesson in Espanol. Caliente means hot, and spicy would be picante.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
Spicy. You know what? Bet against Texas last week, going to do it again. This Texas offense has been abysmal. And it's hard to believe that Arch and Sark can be this bad. It really is. I mean, it's one thing after we watch the first couple games to say, wow, this Texas offense really underachieving. It's disappointing. Tim, they hit new levels of low near rock bottom last week in that game at Kentucky, 26-8 in first downs in favor of Kentucky. All right, this is not an explosive Kentucky offense. 26-8 in first downs in favor of the Wildcats, 395-179 in total yards. Arch Manning, 12-27. Now, I mentioned a week ago that Mark Stoops, really good defensive coach, and he was going to have some schemes ready off a bye that Arch was going to have trouble with, but Texas was so fortunate to win that game. And, you know, it's got a sting for Kentucky because Cutter Bowley ripped up that Texas defense last week. So Longhorns on the road for back-to-back weeks here off that fraudulent win in Lexington and against the Mississippi State team. It's either won or been within one score in every game except the loss at Texas A&M. Blake Shapen, the better quarterback here, passed for 324 yards at Florida a week ago. More cowbell, Tim. Mississippi State +7.
You're sounding like Bruce Dickens over there. Got to have more cowbell, baby. All right, so Mississippi State, a play for you. We were begging for that cowbell in September, Matt, and we got it with one of the craziest finishes in that 24-20 win over Arizona State. Our colleague Stormy Bonantoni, she was on the sidelines being deafened by the cowbell ringing. And speaking of Arizona State, Matt, 8 o'clock in Tempe, the Sun Devils coming off a massive victory over Texas Tech. They get Sam Levitt back after he was sidelined against Utah, and he was terrific in that game, Matt. He threw for 319 yards and a touchdown. He and Jordan Tyson are a dynamic duo. Tyson going for 105 yards, receiving 10 catches. This is, I'll say, it's not my favorite play of the week, and we talked about it Tuesday night on VSiN Primetime in our letdown spots. This is a letdown spot for Arizona State, no doubt. You rush the field, you get that massive win over Texas Tech, a top 10 team, but you're back at home, right? If you were on the road, I think you and I both would be on this game. Instead, I will be the only one on this one. I like Willie Fritz's squad. They haven't really been tested all that much. Their one loss is to Texas Tech in a game that wasn't ultra competitive either. So when you look at strength of schedule, according to Jeff Sagarin, Houston 90th, Arizona State 17th. But I'm going to take the 7.5, Matt, with the Cougars here in this spot against Arizona State, back in the top 25, maybe a little bit of a letdown, and we'll see if Willie Fritz and company with Connor Wegman and that run game can try to grind this thing out. It is worth noting, Arizona State, very impressive, kept Texas Tech really off the field last week, had the ball for over 37 minutes. So, Matt, I will take the Houston Cougars +7.5. Not my favorite bet, but it will be an official play here on the podcast. We'll see if we can get Arizona State in a little bit of a sleepy spot off of that upset win over Texas Tech.
Crazy last few minutes in Tempe in that game last week. Man, that was wild. Really impressed with Arizona State coach Kenny Dillingham. I touted him when he got hired a few years ago, and his first year he bombed. And then he's really been great since then. So it's a little bit too far ahead of the curve on that one. But Kenny Dillingham was a great hire, doing a great job with Arizona State. But, yeah, this is one of those beware, could be a hangover type of spots for the Sun Devils. So I'm going to pass on this, but I can certainly see the argument for Houston.
Let's get into a couple of Big Ten games here, Matt. We'll start 3:30 Eastern, Big Ten Network. We go out to the Pacific Northwest, Washington and Illinois. This is a de facto elimination game for the college football playoff. Not to say that Washington's got a lot of work to do, let's be real, after that loss last week to Michigan. But Illinois traveling out to the Pacific Northwest, and they've actually got some love this week in the market. This number has gone down to 4. There's a 3.5 at FanDuel right now as we record this. Washington and Illinois, Matt. No play for me in this game. It is another one of those situations of the unranked team against the ranked team being favored, the unranked team being favored. But no play for me here. Any thoughts on Illinois-Washington?
Not really. I'm thinking about putting Washington maybe on a money line parlay sort of deal. You know, we talked about Oklahoma, some of these short favorites that you like, but you don't want to lay the points. Damon Williams, he's got a bright future. Been a little bit disappointing recently, especially in the game against Ohio State last week against Michigan. Huskies not being able to step up against the big boys and get it done. I didn't want anything to do with Washington last week in Ann Arbor. I thought that was a spot where Michigan coming off a loss, coming home, had to be the play, and it turned out that way. I think Washington rebounds here, probably gets the win. I don't want to lay the points, but I also don't think Illinois is one of the big boys. You know, when you talk about stepping up against the top teams in the conference or whatever, I don't consider Illinois in that class right now. But if the Illini get this win in Seattle, you might have to change your mind about that, right? That would be a big-time road win. I just don't think the Illini are going to get it.
Yeah, Illinois has two losses right now to two of the best teams in the country in Indiana and Ohio State right now. So certainly not too bad, even though they got blown out by Indiana by 53. It is worth noting, by the way, Illinois scored the most against Ohio State's vaunted defense this year. So a little feather in the cap there. Matt, a fun rivalry over the years has certainly taken a bit of a hit right now when it comes to this spot. Michigan State hosting Michigan. Some murmurs that, hey, maybe Jonathan Smith could be on the hot seat now in East Lansing. It's been a really challenging year for the Spartans. They're catching 14.5, Matt. They're 0-4. In conference play. They did get a cover last week, it is worth noting, against Indiana. But what do you make of this one? Always a fun rivalry between Michigan and Michigan State, and the Spartans catching 14.5 at home.
You know, here's a problem I have with all this talk about Michigan State's field goal at the end that covers the spread. Why is nobody talking about Kurt Cignetti kicking a field goal right before that to go up 28 when it was 4th-and-1? Tema was 4th-and-1 for Indiana. Why was Cignetti kicking a field goal?
There were point spread implications, Matt.
Right. So he was trying to cover, but all anyone's talking about is Jonathan Smith trying to cover. Smith actually kicked a field goal, I think, on what, 4th-and-10? So, I don't know. I guess it's easy to overlook the facts in some of these situations and just talk about, oh, the field goal to cover the spread. Why'd Indiana kick a field goal to go up 28 on 4th-and-1? Anyway, last year, I'm back in Michigan State here. I took the 14.5. Already made that bet. This is a 24-17 game last year in Ann Arbor. I know the Spartans are a bit of a tough sell right now off four straight losses. But, again, Bryce Underwood, a freshman quarterback, has not been very good on the road. Talked about this before the USC game. He was 9-for-24 for 142 yards at Oklahoma. He was 12-for-22, 105 yards at Nebraska. He was not impressive, aside from maybe one or two big plays he made in the game at USC. So you got a freshman quarterback on the road in the rivalry game. Spartans are hungry off the losing streak. And Jonathan Smith is a coach on the hot seat, no doubt about it. I think James Franklin's probably going to talk his way into the Michigan State or Florida State jobs, if I had to guess. Aiden Childs, last week, quarterback for Michigan State, 27-for-33, 243 yards, a touchdown, no picks. Also rushed for 48 yards. Spartans hung in there statistically against the Hoosiers. And I think they got a chance to maybe even pull the upset. Last week, I was talking about three double-digit dogs that had a shot to win outright. Louisville, Kentucky, Stanford. Two of the three got it done, and the one that didn't was Kentucky, which got stopped twice at the one-yard line on that Superman dive play that the Wildcats ran back-to-back like a bunch of idiots. I can't believe they ran that same play back-to-back and got stopped both times. Anyway, I think Spartans got a chance to win this game outright. And a lot of series trends, if you go beyond the past few years, a lot of series trends support that. Michigan State plus 14.5 is one of my favorite bets here.
All right. That game, once again, primetime NBC, Michigan State, number sitting at 14.5. Alabama's been on an unbelievable run, four straight wins against ranked opponents. Could this be a tricky spot for them on the road in Columbia? We'll take a quick break and continue to run through the Week 9 slate on the other side. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We're back. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe. Matt, real quickly, a quick promo for what we've got going on over at the website. You and Adam Burke, JVT, the professor, Aaron Moore, Hoops Peterson, hard at work this week putting together our college hoops guide. So that bad boy is out. Give us a little bit of a insight to what you threw into the college hoops guide.
We were hard at work last week on this, actually. We got it out today, but yeah, I probably spent 40 hours last week working on college hoops research and writing, just handicapping all the teams, trying to put a power rating on about 100 teams. I got my VSiN preseason top 50 in there, wrote up a few best bets. We had a bunch of guys working hard on doing conference write-ups, and we got this thing out. I believe it came out this morning. So college basketball markets are not tight. They're not efficient, not tight like the NFL, even like college football, like we're talking about right now, Tim. You're going to see a lot of bad numbers up in the month of November, a lot of soft numbers up, and that's definitely anybody who bets college hoops can tell you that November, December, a great time to take advantage of some weak numbers. So you can read the college basketball guide, and we do the homework so you don't have to, right? It's like a cheat sheet.
VSiN.com/subscribe. Check it out. All the offers we got the Equinox special going on right now. So check those out over at VSiN.com. Matt, I mentioned it before we went to break. You know, we like to look for situational spots. And Wes Reynolds and I talked about this particular spot on Wednesday for Alabama. And Alabama, man, what a stretch it's been for them, making people forget about that week one loss to Florida State. They were able to beat Georgia on the road, beat Vanderbilt, go on the road, beat Missouri, and then last week get their revenge against Tennessee. Four straight wins over ranked teams. Yep. Just a hell of a run. And now they go on the road to South Carolina. And Matt, last week I had South Carolina as a best bet. I also had the under, so at least we split there. I love this spot for South Carolina. The tricky part is I can't really trust them. And I know scared money don't make money. I'll probably take a bet on South Carolina just out of principle. Right now, 11.5 or 12. But, man, that South Carolina team is fading fast, proving to be one of the more overrated teams in college football this year. Great spot for the Gamecocks, 3:30 on ABC. But I think I'm going to pass from a best bet standpoint. Probably will have a small play on South Carolina, but it won't be fun.
Tim, scared money don't make money, and if you keep betting on South Carolina, you're going to have no money. So I'm going to stay away from the Gamecocks. I think this team's shown you who they are, right? At this point, you just got to believe the offense stinks, and Lenore Sellers has kind of lost it, and it's kind of a lost season for South Carolina. I thought the Gamecocks showed a little bit of life in that game at Missouri, actually. They made the Tigers sweat in Columbia. But since then, I've been very discouraged. You watched that Oklahoma game last week, and Gamecocks had nothing going offensively. It was ugly. This is a really bad scheduling spot for the Tide. You detailed it, and you said it perfectly. I'm not going to lay the points with Alabama here, but I'm off. I've been off the South Carolina bandwagon for a while.
All right, sticking with the SEC, Matt, how about Auburn and Arkansas, two teams desperate for a win? Hugh Freeze, earlier this week, we played the clip on primetime where he discussed, hey, it would be nice if I could get a little bit of reassurance from the AD, and that has not come yet here for Auburn. Auburn's lost four straight, all really in painful fashion when you think about how this Auburn team has lost these games, Matt. Lose by a touchdown, got screwed by the refs against Oklahoma. Score wasn't really indicative of the 16-10 final against A&M. I thought they were really outgained in that one. Well, they were 414 to 177. The Georgia game was brutal. That was the side I was on when I took Auburn there. And then last week, as you mentioned, the double overtime loss to Missouri. And then you've got neck brace Bobby. What is he going to do here? Right before we hit the airwaves, Matt, we saw a whack on Arkansas, excuse me, as this went out to 2.5. We send in our best bets on Wednesday night. I was like, all right, cool. Arkansas minus one, cheap money line. And now that money line's out to around minus 135 or so. Still going to be a best bet for me. I love this Arkansas offense led by Bobby Petrino. Talen Green has been really good despite the defense being absolute crap. Matt, when you look at this game, it's awful defense versus a bad offense in Arkansas-Auburn, and then great offense versus pretty good defense in Auburn. So I think Neckbrace gets the win here. We said that he's going to get a win or two in this interim role. They're 2-0 ATS. How about that backdoor cover last week for Arkansas? So I'm going to take Arkansas here. I'm going to back a bad team at home, but I'm going to say Woo Pig gets their first win under Bobby Petrino.
I think so, too. That's kind of the way I feel about it here. And look, one of our loyal listeners wants us to call Hugh Freeze High School Hugh every time we refer to him. But you know what? I've never been a Hugh Freeze fan. But Auburn has been, I would say, the number one tough luck team of the college football season. If you think about this, this team is so close to being having a much better record. And has been screwed, a little bit of bad luck and some bad officiating. On the other side, in the Oklahoma and the Georgia games, it's really screwed over Auburn. I have a feeling Arkansas is going to get the first win for Bobby Petrino here, too. It's going to be hogs or a pass for me. I'm not going to play it as a best bet right now, but this is one I'm going to consider into the weekend. And, you know, I talked about we harp on the bad beats a lot. I used Arkansas in the Westgate College Football Super Contest last week. Got that backdoor cover, so I have to acknowledge the lucky cover with the Hogs. I've been on a pretty good run the last couple weeks to get back in contention in that contest. Tim, how are you doing in the Westgate contest? Have you surged above 500?
We were getting to 500, and then we got whacked last week. So it has not been a good run.
Who's your partner?
2 years ago in the Golden.
Who's your partner in this?
I've got two different entries. I've got one with Jared Smith and one with Golf Channel's Steve Sands, and both are struggling right now. So we're under 500 on both. So it has not been a good year in the inaugural Westgate Super Contest for your boy. But hopefully you and our friend the Bear can continue to roll, and maybe you guys can take me out to dinner if you win some of that big cash that is in that pot. But final thought on Arkansas-Auburn real quickly. Both these teams, brutal schedules so far. Arkansas second in the country in strength of schedule. Auburn fourth, Matt. So I'm excited to watch this game, believe it or not. Curious to see just the mindsets of these two teams. 12:45 Eastern on SEC Network. Matt, last Friday night I was sitting back watching Minnesota and Nebraska, and you have reminded me that Nebraska hasn't gone over their win total in about a decade, and I have over 7.5 wins, and sure enough, the Corn go out and get smoked by the Golden Gophers as a road favorite, and Darius Taylor ran all over that Nebraska defense. So will he be able to replicate that this week on the road at Kinnick Stadium? 3:30 Eastern on CBS. Minnesota an 8 or 8.5 point dog with a total of 38.5, Matt, in this spot.
You would think taking the 8.5 is a little bit more valuable here with a low total like that in this game. So that's what I did. Took the 8.5 with the Gophers. And Darius Taylor, you talked about, ran for 148 yards on 24 carries last time out. That quarterback matchup we were talking about, Grunkenmeyer for the Penn State offense and Gronowski for Iowa, lived up to the hype, Tim. Those two combined for 161 yards passing and 3 interceptions last week. So it did remind you of Brady and Manning, Grunkenmeyer, Gronowski. How about this? There's a lot of hype about Gronowski, and Iowa's finally got a quarterback who can run this offense. He's got 3 touchdown passes in 7 games. He has been effective on the ground. He's more of a runner, obviously a lot more of a running threat. How about this? Minnesota defense sacked Dylan Riola 9 times in that game. Outgained Nebraska by about 125 total yards. And I mentioned that, you know, these teams – played for the Floyd of Rosedale Trophy, which was a pig. And a lot of times it looks like a pig pen when the Hawkeyes are playing home games. And the last time they played in 2023, Iowa City, it was 12-10. Three of the last four meetings between these teams decided by 5 points or fewer. I don't expect many big plays or a lot of offense in this game, obviously, so I took the 8.5 with the Gophers.
Matt, let's go to the noon window, and I'm going to do it, and I'm probably going to hate myself. Speaking of last Friday night, North Carolina was getting bet in the market like they knew the outcome of the game, and that movement was accurate as they covered against Cal, and they should have beaten Cal, North Carolina. Oh, yeah. They had a chance going into the end zone. They fumble it in typical UNC fashion here in 2025, just finding ways to lose games. They're now 0-4 against Power 4 opponents. But Matt, on the flip side, team that has been wildly fortunate is Virginia. And I went back and I was curious to look at the post-game win expectancy of some of these Virginia wins in recent weeks. And it shouldn't come as a big shock that it has not been overwhelming. When you look at the game they had against Florida State, Matt, the post-game win expectancy was around 34%. The overtime win against Louisville, that was painful for the both of us as we both had Louisville in moneyline parlays. That post-game win expectancy was 10%. And then last week, in a very fortunate win against Washington State, Matt, Virginia had a post-game win expectancy of 45%. So this team is unblemished in ACC play because the NC State game was a non-conference game. I'm just not to the point where this UVA team, in my opinion, should be laying double digits on the road in the ACC. And I know that UNC has been an absolute train wreck this year. They showed me a little life last week, so I'm going to back Chapel Bill here in this spot, and maybe I'll come to regret it. Probably will. Noon kick on the ACC network, but I saw a little bit of life from this UNC team last week in the Bay, so I'll take the 10.5 here and hope that I'm not banging my head against the wall in the noon Eastern window here with UNC against Virginia.
I actually don't disagree. I thought about this play as well, but I said 2 weeks ago when Clemson humiliated North Carolina that, okay, that's it, I'm done. Looks like Bill Belichick's not even trying. He's not putting in the effort. Our buddy Chris Massaro told us on the bye week he wasn't even breaking down film, hanging around the North Carolina football complex. He went to Nantucket on a vacation with his little girl. So I checked out on North Carolina. Now, you're right, the Tar Heels should have beat Cal if you don't get that fumble right before the goal line in Berkeley. So I thought that was a pretty impressive performance. Not that surprising, really, because we talk a lot about buying on bad news, and it was all negative about North Carolina and Belichick that week. And I kept thinking, man, everything's so negative about North Carolina, I bet you the Tar Heels show up against Cal. And they did. I wouldn't be surprised if North Carolina shows up here against a Virginia team that I'm not convinced. Hey, look, Louisville dominated the box score against Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
There were two defensive touchdowns for the Cavs, and that's what flipped that game. So do you give Belichick one more chance? I don't disagree here. I think that it would be North Carolina or nothing, and hopefully you're on the right side because I think that's probably the smart play.
Yeah, hopefully that is the case, Matt, and we'll see from UNC. Like you said, I'm not buying this UVA team, and I really don't want to see them in the ACC championship. I know I've got some buddies out there who have some really long tickets on UVA to win the ACC. That's a great bet to have in your back pocket. I don't want UVA anywhere close to the ACC championship with a chance to go to the playoff. Matt, staying in that noon window on the CW, I know your favorite channel, SMU takes on Wake Forest. And we talked about this as a sandwich spot on Wednesday with Wes. And I think SMU could be in trouble here. I think this team is a bit fraudulent. And Wake Forest, very much under the radar. Jake Dickert, I think, is a really good coach, has this team rolling, and we like to look at situational spots, right? SMU goes to Clemson. I know that Cade Klubnik wasn't playing, but they go down, they get revenge from the ACC championship game, and then look ahead to next week, Matt. SMU hosts Miami in a massive, massive game for ACC championship game implications and playoff implications, but now you got to go to Wake Forest for a noon kick. not going to be a great atmosphere. And it doesn't really bug me that Robbie Ashford might be sidelined here with a thumb injury. He missed the Oregon State game for Wake Forest, Matt. They got a really good defense. You look at the numbers that Wake Forest has so far this year, some of the metrics, they're, you know, top five in some of these spots here defensively. So I think Jake Dickert has this squad in decent shape. SMU offensively is certainly a tricky team, an impressive team. They can get up and down and score some points here. But I like Wake Forest here in this spot. We've seen the market come in a little bit here on the Demon Deeks. 4-2 on the year, two losses, one of which they got completely screwed by the refs against Georgia Tech. So I've been impressed by what I've seen from Jake Dickert's squad. They've got a really good passing defense. That's what, you know, SMU is going to want to try to do, is sling the ball and all over the yard and actually run quite a bit too. So I'm going to take Wake Forest here as a home dog in this spot. There still is a 3.5, I believe, in the market, maybe out there. So I know those were getting scooped up as the week went on, but Wake Forest going to be a best bet for me, Matt, in that noon window against SMU.
Yeah, I see 3 across the board. I'm not sure where you get 3.5. If you might, I don't know. I like Wake, if anything. I would play Wake. The situational handicapping part of it definitely points to Wake, and I like Jake Dickert too. So it'd be Wake or nothing, but it's pretty simple for me. I'm not going to bet this because I stink in the ACC in general, and except for the Louisville play last week. And this game starts at 9 a.m. Pacific time, so it's double jeopardy for me, so I'm going to stay away.
Nothing like having UNC and Wake Forest in the noon window to start your day off right. Can't wait for that. Matt, let's go back to the Big Ten, where you do like to bet quite a bit. I don't think either of us have bets on these games, but let's run through them real quickly. UCLA at Indiana. Kirk Cignetti this week, he's going to have his team ready to go. This UCLA team is not going to be a team that's going to come in without the attention of the Hoosiers. Indiana laying 25.5. Hoosier West thinks that UCLA could be a, not live dog, but could be a capable team to cover the spread here. Number 25.5, noon on Fox for Kirk Cignetti's squad.
How about that? Fox Big Noon Kickoff Show is going to be in Bloomington. I said, Wes, you should be traveling to all of these games. He's waited a lifetime for Indiana football to be good. And he said, well, I'm going to save my money for the big games. So he's going to travel to the playoff games and the bigger games. This is not even a big game to Indiana fans anymore when they got the Bear, Chris Velika, and the whole crew on campus. I think Indiana's going to roll the Bruins. I know UCLA's been riding the wave here after the coaching change, but I think it crashes in Bloomington. Cignetti by 30-plus. I like Northwestern catching 7.5 at Nebraska. I think this Purple Cats team's actually for real. And I was a little hesitant on Purdue last week, and Northwestern took care of business with no sweat. Pretty impressive performance. I think this is probably the week to back Purdue as a 2.5, or if you could buy it up to 3, or even on the money line. I think Purdue's going to beat Rutgers. So this is a better spot for Purdue this week. And that's the way I feel about those Big Ten games.
Yeah, and we'll wrap with that, because the Purdue game was one that I ultimately left off the card. I'll probably bet Purdue here as a short dog, and like you said, take a little on the money line. You know, real quickly, Matt, the status of Ryan Brown, does that affect how you think about this Purdue-Rutgers game?
Not that much. Brown had been throwing too many picks. And, yeah, it would be better if he were there. But Malachi Singleton, who actually I thought threw a really nice deep ball a couple times last week, and I think Malachi Singleton can effectively run that offense. Tim, did you see the number that the Rutgers defense allowed last week to Oregon? I mean, this is
750?
Yes, you did. So, and that game could have been a lot worse than the final score. The final score in that game was 56-10. It could have been 70-3 or worse. So I think this should be a good spot for Barry Odom to beat Rutgers.
All right, Matt, let's take one final break here on the podcast. When we come back, we'll give you our best bet recap as well as the Mountain West Minute. We'll run through all of the Mountain West games. I've got a best bet in the Mountain West as well this week. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, wrapping things up, it is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. A little bonus edition here for the podcast listeners and those on YouTube. We'll get to our best bet recap here in just a moment, Matt. This game certainly took a pretty significant hit last week. USF at Memphis. The Memphis Tigers got upset as a 23.5-point underdog against UAB. USF, on the flip side, continued to roll, and I picked the wrong side to be on. I was going to fade one of these teams, and I should have faded Memphis, not USF. So it is worth noting that the Nevada transfer, Brendan Lewis, more than likely out for this game for Nevada. AJ Hill, a prize recruit coming in for Memphis. Matt, the look-ahead line in this game was 3.5 in favor of Memphis. It's now 6 in favor of South Florida because of the injury and because of the play. So a wild move here. Was tempted to take Memphis, but I think I'll sit this one out. South Florida has been really impressive these past couple of weeks. Alex Golish certainly trying to impress folks, and can't imagine he'll be in Tampa come this time next year. So he certainly will be on the radar for a lot of schools. But South Florida went from a 3.5-point dog to now a 6-point favorite at a number of shops against Memphis, who more than likely will be without their starting quarterback, even though A.J. Hill, a 4-star recruit, the highest quarterback recruit in the history of Memphis football. Matt, I want to hit on the Mountain West Minute here to wrap things up. You and I love to bet this conference, and we'll run through the handful of games they have on the schedule this week. Fresno State was one that I eyed up. Ultimately, I think I'll be on Fresno State. Not going to be an official play. We've seen the market come in on the Bulldogs these past couple of weeks, from 3.5 down to 3. Sean Lewis's squad has been really impressive. Both these teams coming off a bye. San Diego State at Fresno. We'll call it 3 in favor of the Aztecs on the road in the Valley.
I'm going to stay away from this one, Tim, because I got beat so bad with Nevada a couple weeks ago against San Diego State. And that game went sideways from the start. Punt return for a touchdown. 3 scores for the Aztecs that had nothing to do with their offense. But San Diego State's really improved defensively. And Denegal, the quarterback's playing a lot better. So maybe Aztecs are a lot better than people thought they were. You know, when they blew out Cal that night, that was a little bit of a fluke and maybe just a really bad spot for the Cal Bears. And then the Aztecs beat Northern Illinois 6-3. And you think, okay, same old San Diego State, not much offense, all defense and special teams. But Aztecs have I've had to upgrade their power rating, no question about it. And, Tim, you would have to explain what the hell happened to Fresno State in that loss at Colorado State. That was the last win of Jay Norvell's tenure at Colorado State, and I know that Fresno rolled up a bunch of yards in that game, but the fact of the matter is the Bulldogs got blown out. They weren't even competitive in the game in Fort Collins. I really don't like E.J. Warner much at quarterback, even though I like Matt Entz quite a bit as a coach. You know, my instincts here are to back Fresno State as the home dog, but I'm probably going to pass on this game.
Yeah, I thought about putting Fresno, as I mentioned, on the card this week. You mentioned that Colorado State game 2 weeks ago. They did outgain him 469 to 334, -4 in the turnover margin, 3 thrown interceptions, a fumble lost, and they also had 3 turnover on downs in that game. So, yeah, Colorado State, the final win of the Jay Norvell era. Speaking of which, Matt, we've got the Border War on Saturday night in Laramie, 7:30 on CBS Sports Network. Wyoming hosting Colorado State. And we talked about this on primetime, and I tweeted it out as well. And we actually opened up the podcast yesterday with it. The fired coach bump this year has been 6-1 against the spread. Teams the game after their coach gets fired. Maybe they're on discount. Maybe they're a bit motivated, whatever it may be. I bet Colorado State here, and the market has moved from about 6 down to 4.5. I bet 5.5. Obviously, that's not a key number. So 4.5 is just fine, in my opinion. You know, my question, Matt, to you, for a guy that handicaps this conference as much as you do, should Wyoming be laying 4.5 against anybody? I think is a fair question to ask. They were a 4.5-point dog against UNLV, 1.5-point dog to San Jose State, and then last week in a loss at Air Force, they were a 4-point dog. Last year, Colorado State was laying 8.5 in this game in Fort Collins. So, look, for Colorado State, you obviously have to downgrade them quite a bit, but I expect that this could be a motivating game for the Rams. It's a rivalry game, as mentioned, a rivalry that's been going on for, you know, over 100-plus years. So I'm going to take the fired coach bump here and maybe a team a little bit on sale. I will take Colorado State catching 4.5 against the Pokes of Wyoming.
Colorado State definitely under consideration for me here, plus 4.5. The Circa number topped out at 6. But that 6 was not there too long. I was watching the tape of the San Jose-Wyoming game a couple of nights ago. What a wild game that Wyoming was lucky to win. Made a comeback in the fourth quarter to win that game. I don't know which Wyoming team's going to show up. But, Tim, you mentioned it, and we featured this on the show, VSIM Primetime, a couple nights ago. Teams after the coaching change have been a great bet. And that's an angle I've liked going back many, many years, and that would lead me to Colorado State or nothing here, so I might play the Rams. The only team that did not work with recently was the Tennessee Titans, so that tells you a lot about the Titans. They changed coaches, and they still stink, and they're still hopeless against the spread. But in college football, after a coaching change, team's been a great bet the next week. You said 6-1 ATS, right? And I think the best examples of that are UCLA, and what you talked about with UAB last week, right?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, both those teams have been fantastic. UAB winning as a 23.5-point underdog. UCLA didn't win their first game. They covered against Northwestern, and then they've rattled off three straight. You might saw the news that Braden Fowler Nicolosi left the program. Hey, is that their starting quarterback? No, he got benched in the middle of September. It's been a disastrous season, and Jackson Brousseau has been the starter there. So Braden Fowler Nicolosi no longer with the program, not affecting the game. All right, Matt, let's do what we do to close out every podcast. Let's give the folks a best bet recap.
Best bets recap.
All right, Matt, lead us off. You've got 5 official plays. Rattle them off, sir.
All right, a couple of the 9 a.m. games that we talked about, I did not put on the best bet list, so I can avoid that aggravation in the morning, but I've got a lot of college football bets. I'll go with these 5 as best bet for the podcast. 4-2 last week. 24-21-2 for the season. Minnesota plus 8.5. Iowa State minus 2.5. Vanderbilt minus 2.5. Mississippi State plus 7. And Michigan State plus 14.5.
Matt, I will go with 5 official plays. A couple of games on the radar, just to kind of give these. You and I mentioned Purdue. Certainly, that was one that I just left off the card. LSU, I think I'll ultimately be on the Bayou Bengals as well, especially if a 3 shows. But officially, we'll go Arkansas. I know that number has ballooned a little bit since we've jumped on air. So maybe find the cheapest money line, minus 2.5, however you want to grade it here. But last night, it was minus 1. Iowa State, common play between Matt and myself. He's laying the chalk. I'll take the money line, minus 140 or so. Houston plus 7.5. Colorado State plus 4.5. And I know Wake Forest is down to 3, 3.5. We'll see where that number ultimately closed. But Wake Forest, 3-4-1 week. Not a great week last week. 25-26-3 now on the year. So hopefully we can have a big week here and build some momentum as we head into the latter part of the season. All right, Matt, that's going to do it for the podcast. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe. Just a reminder, the Circa Friday Football Invitational, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, hosted by Matt Newman's current leader, Chris the Bear Felica. He's been on fire. And then catch my Saturday show, the College Football Tailgate Show, 9 a.m. Eastern on VSIN. You can check it out on YouTube TV and a number of other entities. Thanks to Wyatt Tomchek. Thanks to Ryan Hunter, our 2 producers. For Matt, I'm Tim. This has been the VSIN College Football Betting Podcast.